My guest at this time is Victoria Tunsing. She's a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, former Assistant U.S. Attorney, and a partner in the Washington law firm of DeGeneva Tunsing. We want to get her reaction to reports the FBI is expanding its investigation of Hillary Clinton to determine whether she violated public corruption laws by mixing State Department business with the affairs of the Clinton Foundation. We also want to get her input to new reports alleging that Hillary Clinton encourage staff not to put secure markings and classified markings on emails, which apparently popped up in an email that has been released by the State Department. So, Victoria, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks a lot, Greg. I just want you to know that back in August of 2015, Pete Hoekstra, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and I wrote an op-ed piece that was in the New York Post and then another one that was in Fox Online that said that Hillary Clinton broke the law by the very fact of setting up her personal computer.
Well, let's dig into this issue here, because one of the emails that got released is from June of 2011. Jake Sullivan, one of her top aides, says he was trying to send her talking points, and then he sends her an email saying, they say they've had issues sending secure fax. They're working on it. She replies, if they can't, turn into non-paper with no identifying heading and send non-secure. She told John Dickerson at Face the Nation that that was never sent, so it doesn't matter, and that she always handled the information appropriately. So what do you make of this email?
Well, gag. Let me just tell you these diversions that she has lopped onto as this scenario has opened up. First of all, remember the line was, well, every Secretary of State had their own personal email account. Well, yeah, but we're not talking about the email account. We're talking about the server. It's a server, stupid. So then when people started talking about that, she said, well, I didn't receive classified information on it. Well, that got to be a problem when all of a sudden going through it, people were finding classified information. Then she said, I didn't receive anything that was marked classified. I have been told, Greg, by people, the word in the State Department was that she had instructed people to take the markings off of classified material. But it doesn't even matter, because what if you are given a briefing, an oral briefing that has classified information on it? You don't go around with the classified markings in your brain. You need to know when you're a government official, and I was, that this information is classified. And so you don't put it over the regular communications networks, and you don't talk about it. So it doesn't. If she took markings off and it was still classified information, that's still a crime. The number of the statute is 18 U.S.C. 1924. Everybody go Google it, because it says it is a crime to put classified information in, quote, an unauthorized location, unquote. It's as simple as that.
And that would include the server. Specific punishment for telling others to break the law?
No, well, that shows intent. I mean, because it's, you have to knowingly put it in. You have to know it that it's classified, you know. And so that would show that she had knowledge that she was getting information that was classified and that it was coming into the server in the bathroom.
Now let's move on to the FBI expanding the probe to a public corruption type of investigation, in addition to all the concern over the national security implications of classified material being in the wrong places we've already just discussed. Catherine Herridge of Fox News breaking this story, citing three unnamed sources. And Catherine is a very respected reporter in Washington. So assuming this story is right, how significant is this development?
Well, this is really a significant development, because remember, David Petraeus, General Petraeus, had to plead guilty to 18 U.S.C. 1924, and it became a misdemeanor for him. But this is felony corruption. Is there a connection, the FBI says, between the government of, you name it, whatever country, giving Bill Clinton $1 million speech fee, and then the Secretary of State happens to be his spouse, making a decision that benefits that country? And there are a number of those that have been alleged in newspaper accounts. He gets a big speech. He comes in, gives a speech for them. He gets a lot of money, and then she gives them favorable decisions at the State Department. This is like the State Department's a RICO organization under the Clintons.
As far as we know, Victoria, the emails released from the State Department to this point have not included much Clinton Foundation content. So is this proof that the FBI has been able to retrieve emails that were either not released or possibly deleted?
I am sure that that's where they're going in getting in and looking for the emails, because all the requests have been about Benghazi, as far as, you know, what we're working with, the Benghazi Committee and the people talking about what happened in the aftermath of Benghazi. I'm sure when they got into her server and saw the emails, they saw all kinds of back and forth between Bill Clinton getting paid and her making decisions at the State Department. Now, remember, this Justice Department under this administration prosecuted and convicted Governor McDonnell of Virginia for just making a few phone calls for somebody that he had known for several years. And guess what? They want to put him in jail. It's on appeal right now. But this is far beyond what McDonald did. He made a few phone calls and never amounted to anything. If Bill Clinton got paid $1 million for a speech, and Hillary, or $500,000 or $200,000, it matters not, and Hillary Clinton made decisions favorable to that entity or business or country in a reasonable time frame, that is per se a violation of law.
Victoria, what type of evidence is needed to expand an investigation into something like this?
Well, you'd be in looking at certain emails for, you know, whether they're classified or not, and all of a sudden you might come across these that are talking about the quid pro quo of the speech payment and what and Hillary's decision, and you wouldn't need more than a couple of those. Just say one speech for $250,000. That's pretty serious stuff. If it was only one time. I mean, McDonald was prosecuted by this Justice Department for just doing a favor for one person.
What does it take to prove she violated public corruption laws? I'm guessing there's probably not an email saying, now that you've given this amount of money to the Clinton Foundation, I will grant you what you want. So what type of proof?
You just need something in the reasonable period of time frame. So Bill's gotten a speech, and, you know, the issue comes up, Bill's giving a speech, there's a decision pending, and it happens within the next 2 or 3 months. That's all you need.
If the FBI is just beginning this phase of the investigation, Victoria, how much longer could it be before we get to any findings or decision on charges from the Attorney General?
Well, we don't know that the FBI is just beginning this phase. In fact, I would tend to think it's not. I would think that it's been there for a while, and you're just learning about it.
So that doesn't necessarily change the timetable much?
No, but, you know, at a certain point, about the next 60 or 90 days, they're going to have to come to some kind of decision. And although the government, when I was there, we were never supposed to take politics into account, it would not be a good thing to allow a political party to nominate somebody and then, whoops, the next day indict them. So I would think that that's in the back of the minds of certain people.
You have mentioned in the past that the FBI is going to be howling mad if there is no indictment, either of Hillary or her top officials. It's something related to this story. The Herridge story at Fox News also points out that 100 special agents assigned to the investigations were asked to sign non-disclosure agreements. And what does that tell you? And does that then make it less likely that if there are no charges that this story will get out?
No, it doesn't make it less likely. Yes, they can sign those, but they're supposed to not be talking about an investigation in any event. So I don't know why they had them do that, except to just give a special emphasis. But I have talked to people, to agents in the government over the past month or so, and they are telling me there will be a revolt, if this is swept under the rug.
Amazing. So what do you actually think will happen?
Well, I think there will be a recommendation from the FBI to the Justice Department. Now, whether Loretta Lynch is going to, maybe Clinton people will get to her, and maybe people will tell her, you know, she'll never eat lunch in this town again. But I think if she doesn't go along with the FBI recommendation, she won't eat lunch in this town again anyway.
Amazing. Victoria, thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Sure.
Victoria Tunsing is a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, former Assistant U.S. Attorney, and a partner in the Washington law firm of DeGeneva Tunsing. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.